Our first scripture reading is coming from the book of Psalm, chapter 36, verse 5 through 9. And thus it reads, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and your light we see light." Our second scripture reading is coming from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The reading from the gospel this morning is from the Gospel of John, and it's chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being is in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." May God continue to add blessings to his word in our hearts. Brothers and sisters, at this time, we come to the time for our meditation this morning. And let me say, of course, the meditation this morning comes from the gospel, or based on the gospel of John. This is a special gospel for the church, of course. As you can tell when you read this gospel, you encounter that there's some things in this gospel that are different from the other three gospels we have, right? We have what we have called the synoptic gospels, and synoptic because they sort of have a common theme, and they sort of, you know, use the same sources, and so they are very similar. And so, but this one, the Gospel of John, it just takes a very different take on the whole experience of Jesus, the Messiah, who he was and what he represented for the world. And of course, we are told of this in this gospel that we have somebody who's special. And this is the first gospel where we find a theology that is so profound for the world, and so for some people so difficult as well. And for many years, this, as I was younger, this was my favorite gospel because I thought it just spoke so highly about the person of Jesus Christ. And to me, that was so central for in my journey of faith. And I just loved to read this gospel. I thought it was a wonderful way for me to learn about who Jesus was and what Jesus represented for the world. As I've come to read more and comprehend this gospel even more, I find an incredible richness in this gospel. This gospel speaks to us, of course, from the experience of the early community, of the early church, and most likely written somewhere around the year 90 or perhaps somewhere around the year 120. So late first century, early second century of the Christian era. And it's an amazing thing because the gospel, of course, speaks to the reality of what some people were already experiencing in some of the churches in the ancient world, and how people in the Christian church were seeing and understood who Jesus was and what Jesus represented for the world. And therefore, we have this wonderful explanation about who this person who is in our midst happens to be. I know that for some of you, of course, it's a given, right? It's something that we already knew this. We have already heard the story about who Jesus was. But in the first century, that was not exactly a common thing. You understand, right? This is not exactly like this was in the newspapers, and there were no books of theology. There were not many theologians at the time who had already spoken to the fact that Jesus was this being that is described here. This is one of the first instances in which we find in the early church this explanation about who this Jesus is and who this Jesus is representing in the world. And so we have a unique experience when we read this gospel. For indeed, we're starting to read the formation and the development of the idea of who this Jesus was and what this Jesus represented for the world. So this story, of course, brings us into a wonderful place in the book we're reading for our season of Advent, Making Room. And before we get going on that, would you please join me in prayer? Loving and blessed God, we give you thanks for your word. We pray, God, that you bless us, O God, as we hear your word proclaimed. Loving God, I know I'm the one who's proclaiming, but God, I'm hoping and praying that the word that comes through me, Lord, comes from you. That you may be the one, Lord, speaking to your church here gathered, to the church who's watching, and also speak to me. For we all need to hear your word, Lord, in our lives. Loving and blessed God, I pray indeed that you speak to all of us. That you help us, Lord, to understand and comprehend what your will for our lives is, that we may live according to your word. Blessed God, to you we pray in the name of Jesus, name that is above all names. Amen and amen. You know, the last few weeks we have been talking about this study that we've been working on, and the title of the book, of course, is Making Room. And so part of what we have been talking about has been this idea of how this God has made room. And so the examples that we have been given are the examples from Scripture about how the people that we see in the Scripture have made room. And the first study we did, or the first Sunday, we spoke about the Holy Family and how the Holy Family made room for those who were around them. How in that first reading we encounter how people made room for the Holy Family. And we talked about how Mary and Joseph went into the inn, right, in that famous inn, and we talk about that a little bit, which we will not do here again. But we encounter how Mary and Joseph were welcome into the house that they were staying at, and how they were welcomed into the house because that was, again, the expectation in the ancient world. And so the following Sunday we went into, and we explored, of course, how this Holy Family have also welcomed the shepherds, and how they welcomed the Magi, and how they have all come to this house. And even though this was not their home, but they indeed welcomed the people who came, because it was indeed a way for them to open and making room for folks that were not supposed to be there. We spoke about the fact that they received and welcomed the shepherds, and we talk about the fact that the shepherds were probably in the lowest rank of the social scale in Jewish society, but they were welcome into their home. They were welcome into their house, for they have been called by God to come and to be part of the experience that God was already working in the world. And so God called the shepherds. God did not call the powerful and the mighty. Amen. God called the weak and the lowly, the worst of the worst in the scale of social hierarchy. And these were the ones who came to give the good news to Mary and to Joseph, that the angels have come to speak to them, to tell them to come and visit. And then the next one, of course, the other group that comes to visit with them happens to be a group of foreigners, a group of outsiders who came, a group of Gentiles who were not supposed to be part of a house or come into a house like a Jewish house. But they opened their home to them. They opened the space they had and welcomed these folks. This is not exactly the most natural thing a Jewish family would have done, especially considering the people that they were allowing into their home. But this is how God works with us. Amen? This is how God works with us. We are welcomed by this God, and that's what we learned from this experience in the last 2 weeks. Today we come to this new place where we find the story of Jesus and how Jesus is revealed to us as the light of the world. But not only that, Jesus is revealed to us as the one who, of course, happens to be also divine. But I need you to hear this little piece. For you see, in biblical studies, we talk about this story as the second creation. The second order of creation. This is a new moment of creation where God is doing things new. This is a new moment of creation where we are introduced into the story in the same way that we were introduced in the story of Genesis. You remember the story of Genesis, right? In the story of Genesis, we read that in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless. Void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. You have heard that, right? In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and there was darkness in the world, and God separated the darkness from the light, for God brought indeed the light into the world, into our existence. And so we come then to this place in John's gospel where we are actually, interestingly enough, we're actually starting in the beginning as well. And so the first verse of chapter 1 in John, we are told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Indeed, in the beginning. This is a new story of a new beginning, a new story of how things has been started, how God is doing something new, how God is doing something special. And now, of course, in the life and the person of Jesus Christ, we find that God is doing something special in this world. For indeed, it is this God who has been so careful for us that God decided to come and to dwell among us. And we have been told in this passage a little bit later on in verse 14. We didn't read that one, but verse 14 is where we're told, and we have seen his glory as the glory of this first Son of God. I mean, that is whom we're talking about in the story, but this is the beginning. This is the beginning story. This is the beginning of the new story that God is doing something special and something new. And you remember that passage, of course, from 2 Corinthians, when we are told that this is a new creation, right? This is something new that God is doing. In the 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, Paul tells us, so if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in the Messiah, there is a new creation there. There is a new creation right there. Everything, all has passed away. See, everything has become new. Do you believe that? See, do you believe that? Do you believe that this is this action of God, and God is actually in this process of creating and recreating in our lives, of so making our lives new every time we surrender our lives to Him? Indeed, as we come to the story in John, we are reminded that this God cares so deeply for us, that this God has started something new. This God has started something new. And you need to hear this, my brothers and sisters. God has started something new. In the midst of darkness, in the midst of the most challenging times we have experienced, God has made something new. You probably are not seeing it, and you probably have a hard time seeing what God is doing, but God is doing something new even today for our lives and for our future. And we just need to wake up and respond to that calling from God. For God is indeed calling on each and every one of us to respond to what God is doing in the world. Do you believe that God is doing something special in the world? For you see, God has not abandoned us, nor has God abandoned this world in which we live. And if you believe that, then we believe that we have a responsibility given to us from God to be involved in the business of God in the world. For you and I, we are God's hands and feet. You remember that wonderful prayer from St. Teresa, right? God has no hands but ours. God has no feet but ours. God has no mouth but ours. God speaks through us. God works through us. And God is using you to make a difference in this world. But you have to believe that this God has called you indeed for that. That you have a purpose, and that purpose has been given to you by the living God. Not just because you made a choice about coming to church, but that God indeed has called you to witness to the light. As we heard from the gospel today, John said, I am not the light. And we're told, he's not the light, but he came to give witness to the light. Are we giving witness to the light? Are we giving witness to this light that has come into the world? For indeed, you and I have been called to give witness to this light of this new thing that God is doing in the world today. Constantly doing and recreating, for this God is not tired of working with you, and this God doesn't get tired of working with us and the entire human race. You know, I love this imagery that comes from the book we're reading, Making Room. Pastor Rob tells us a story at the beginning of this chapter. Tells us a story about it when he went into a cave in Texas. As he was telling the story, I remember my own story about going into a cave in Puerto Rico and going into a deep cave. And of course, you know, a little bit concerned because, you know, not exactly a very comfortable walk down to the cave. It was slippery. It was hot, and it was also very damned. And so you're walking down, and you know, and the guy did exactly what the guy did for the tour that Pastor Rob was. He, you know, when we got to the bottom, he just, you know, turned off the lights. and like Pastor Rob described, we couldn't see anything. We couldn't see our hands. And then, you know, we're laughing. You know, it was with my friends. You know, we're laughing because, you know, we're putting our hands in front of us and we could not see our hands. You know, we just could not even see the frame of the hand and nothing. I mean, it was so dark. And of course, you understand how that works. And Pastor Rob, you know, then tells us and how the tour guide just got a light, and he just turned on the light, the match, and the match just lit the entire cave. And so we're told, and he tells us in the story, that the light cannot win over light except when we let the light go. See, that's when Jesus told us, right? You are the light of the world. You hear me, right? You are the light of the world. It's not the other. It's not, oh, it's Pastor Mark. He's the light of the world. I'm just here for you know, a road trip, right? No. It's Sister Wendy. You know, she's the light of the world. I'm just here for the ride. No. Jesus told us in Matthew, you are the light of the world because you are the ones whom God has claimed as His. And God is claiming you to witness to the light. As Jesus shined His Shekinah, His Shekinah light into the darkness of our world, the truth of our human condition is revealed. All of our outcasts, of every single one of us, is a sinner who has fallen from grace. We are the outcast from the kingdom of heaven. Without redemption of our Father through Jesus on the cross, we have no entrance. We have no way of coming in. This is what Pastor Rob wrote at the end of the chapter. But you have been called by God to be light in the midst of darkness, to witness to the light, to let your light shine in the world, to let the world see that indeed you are a follower of Jesus and you believe the stuff that Jesus talked about, that you believe the stuff that Jesus preached about. You can make a difference because you're part of that new creation from God. I know sometimes we don't feel like that. Amen? Amen? Amen. I know sometimes we don't feel like we're a new creation. We feel like we're the old one. And we just don't want the old one. But I need you to hear me, for this is what the scripture says. You are the new creation of God. Now, it doesn't mean, as we have said here before, that you have it all together. Amen? It doesn't mean that we have all our issues resolved. It doesn't mean that we have everything under control, for we don't. You see, that's exactly where God comes into our lives and continues to work with us. And continues to work with us so that we can be, again, witnesses to the light. So that we can continue to witness to the light that is Jesus Christ in this world. You can make all the difference. You can make all the difference if you take this message, if you accept this message, that God indeed has made you new, and that you have a task in this world to bring the light of God into the world. See that when you're in a room and people who live in darkness want to continue to live in darkness, when you go into that room, you are supposed to be the one to light the room up, not the one to bring darkness into the room. You and I are supposed to be the ones who bring that word of God for light into that room that brings a message of love and peace and compassion and mercy and reconciliation. You and I, we are the ones who have been called by God to be the light. Let us be the light in the world. Would you please join me in our response to the word this morning? We read this last week as the benediction, but I thought this is a perfect way to respond to today's message. Go forth from this place and awaken people, aware of the world's darkness, yet reaching for the light. We see God at work in our world, and that makes all the difference. Go forth from this place and expecting people conscious of judgment in our midst, yet welcoming God's new order and justice. We welcome God's new day, believing that Christ will set us free. Go forth from this place, a serving people, sensing anew the pain so many bear, yet confident God will bring healing even through you. We open ourselves as channels of God's grace, for we have heard good news, and we have been empowered to share it. Go in peace, my brothers and sisters. Go in peace.